You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome into a Monday edition of Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the only podcast that breaks down every Heat game, news item, rumor, and more. Thanks for listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or on the brand new podcast app, Himalaya. My name is Wes Goldberg, and I'm here with David Ramil, shocked and surprised. We're recording this minutes after news broke that the Heat will acquire Jimmy Butler through a sign-and-trade with the Sixers that will send Josh Richardson to Philadelphia. The Heat beat the Rockets and other teams to land Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler becomes the new face of the franchise for the Heat, and we're digesting this basically just as it happened, and there are sure to be more dominoes to fall here in the next few minutes and hours, but your immediate thoughts on how Butler will fit in Miami, David?
I think he'll be incredible here. I mean, obviously there are other things to do as far as his roster is concerned, but so much of Miami's biggest, most glaring weaknesses has been a lack of a go-to player, somebody who can get to the line, create a shot for themselves, and possibly make a play for another player as well. And Jimmy does that. Not only does he do that, but he also is willing to do that. He's also capable of defending at a high level, switching onto multiple players. He has fire. He has drive. He's not afraid to get into your face and challenge you. And Miami's roster was filled with really, really good players that were a little apprehensive at times, unwilling to take on that shot and to take on the largeness of those big moments. Jimmy is the exact opposite of that. And he's gotten to this point, not to say that Miami's players haven't worked to this point, but he has carved out his destiny in a way that is different than what Miami's players roster has done. Like, he is a self-actualized player who is, I think, arguably one of the top 15 players in the league still.
Yes, yeah. The playoffs definitely prove that.
I think so. There are questions there. Look, I mean, Joel Embiid is a hell of a player. Ben Simmons, obviously, is a hell of a player. And Jimmy wasn't an all-star this past year as he was trying to fit into Philadelphia's larger scheme there. And that's fine. But he was a hell of a great player in Philadelphia. He was a great player in Minnesota, you know, getting them to the playoffs for the first time. And
when it mattered, he was the best player for both of those teams. When it mattered, he was the best player. You could argue that Joel Embiid was the best player for the Sixers, but he could only play 30 minutes a game. When it mattered, both of those teams put the ball in Jimmy Butler's hands. And that is exactly what the Heat have been missing. And that's what the Heat were hoping Josh Richardson would become last season. And that's why they didn't ultimately deal Josh Richardson for Jimmy Butler at the beginning of last season. Then there were several other reported sticking points. But ultimately, if they wanted to get the deal done, they would have gotten the deal done. And from what we understand, one of the sticking points was they might not have been ready to give up on Josh Richardson. And that doesn't mean that they gave up on Josh Richardson now. It just means that I do think throughout that season, we saw what Josh Richardson could do. The Heat put him, as Josh Richardson currently is, we saw the Heat put the ball in his hands over and over again in crunch time, and most of the time he just wasn't able to deliver. And that's not necessarily a slight against Richardson. Some guys can do it and some guys can't. And Dwayne Wade is one of these guys who was always able to do it for Miami. He's got that, you know, that cold-blooded nature to be able to end games and take over in crunch time, and it is a skill that not every player has. And Jimmy Butler has that. Jimmy Butler has that in spades, and we've seen it over and over again, and we've seen his relationship with Dwayne Wade, and I think they have that, and they are like kind of cut from the same cloth, and that's why they have that sort of relationship. And by the way, for Dwayne Wade to be able to not basically recruit Jimmy Butler on his way out the door, and Dwayne Wade is in China right now, and he was able to, he gets so much credit for this, truly, he does, and you got to give credit to Pat Riley and Andy Ellsberg and Nick Arison and all the guys who also have their hands on, their fingerprints on this. By the way, I should report the numbers here. Jimmy Butler, 4 years, $142 million. It's about $31 million a year. The Heat, it looks like they're still, the Heat and the Sixers are going to have to probably find a third team to take another contract off of Miami's hands. What that contract is and what team that is to be determined. Again, we are recording this just minutes after news broke. But the key piece in all of this is that Jimmy Butler is heading to Miami, and it is a tremendous upgrade and gives them something that they just haven't had for a long time.
Apparently, you know, and I apologize to all of our fans here. We're kind of still digesting this, as you said earlier. We've just found out this news within the last 10 minutes. We were set to record just to kind of go over the first day, first few hours of the free agency, kind of go over some takeaways and things of that sort. We had heard that the Butler deal was in the works. He met with Miami. We knew that was coming for maybe a day or two already. Obviously, there had been interest there for well over a year. At the same time, we're just finding out about this. And even now, as we're recording this, apparently Rachel Nichols on ESPN has said that Goran Dragic is possibly being sent to Dallas as the third team in order to accommodate the Jimmy Butler trade.
That to me does make sense. And you're probably seeing another draft pick go to Philadelphia as part of this from Dallas, I would imagine.
Yeah.
But that part makes sense because they need to clear something close to $16 million. And even when we always talked about the long contracts, James Johnson, Deion Waiters, Kelly Olynyk, those are still not up to $16 million. Obviously, Dragic is well above that at $19, $20 million. So that makes sense. You get if you're Dallas, you get that expiring contract. You get a position of need for you, Goran Dragic, who fits what they're doing pretty well. Not necessarily their timetable, but will be a good veteran presence. Obviously, will be a good presence for his mentee, Luka Doncic. They already have that relationship. So that makes a lot of sense. So if Rachel Nichols is saying that right now on The Jump, I buy it. And does that change your opinion of this trade? Is it now that it's not just Josh Richardson, it's Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic heading to Philadelphia or heading out and Jimmy Butler coming in?
It does not. It's hard. I have to be honest with you. This is something I've said for a long time now that this roster was problematic in the sense that it was never going to be very, very good. The people on this team, for the most part, have been really fun to cover and talk to. You know, you've talked to them. I've talked to them.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Richardson, in particular, was really fun. Goran Dragic, beloved by most of the media that covers them there, and a really great person to talk to, always willing and open to talk to. And from a personal note, it's a little hard to see these guys. I'll be 100% honest with you. And maybe I should be unbiased as media and kind of get used to this after many years.
That.
Well, I think that's how some people feel like you should react to these kinds of things. But you know what? It's not like they've passed or moved on. They're just elsewhere.
You've always thought very highly of this roster, the way that they went to work, and all of these things. And I don't think that them mixing it up is not even fair. Them getting Jimmy Butler isn't necessarily a reflection on a poor reflection on Josh Richardson or Goran Dragic. I think that's the key here. It's just they're not Jimmy Butler. They're good players. Dragic is 2 years removed from being an all-star. They're just not Jimmy Butler. And when Jimmy Butler's on the table, you got to go get it. We could argue that the Heat should have made this move a year ago, and they didn't. And they had a rare opportunity to correct that mistake, if you want to view it as that mistake. And I think you could, given that they didn't make the playoffs. And I don't know if Jimmy Butler alone would have gotten them to the playoffs, but they didn't make the playoffs with the team that they had. Yeah. They would have been better with Jimmy Butler.
No,
so
I think that's totally fair. And I think that year, like you mentioned, they tried to avoid trading Josh at the start of last year because they really believed that he was going to make another leap this season. And he didn't. He did improve in some regards. But I think the role of being the team's best player or being asked to be the team's top scorer and do so many other things, especially play defense at a high level, was too much for him to handle. And I think now in Philadelphia, he gets to be more of a complimentary player. And again, from Miami's perspective, they tested him. He didn't quite live up to that test. He didn't prove himself the way they would have hoped. And they said, you know what? In order for us to improve, we have to make some hard decisions. And this was probably a very difficult one for them to part with a guy like Josh, who, again, was such a great investment for him, a second-round pick, and to be able to turn around and have such a productive career, one rewarded by a nice extension. They had hopes that he'd be a superstar player in Miami. It just never worked out that way.
Yeah, I think it was clear from everybody watching. Like you and I watched every Josh Richardson possession over his entire career, basically.
Yeah.
And I think it was clear that he plateaued. There was a certain, and look, this guy, he's 25, he's going to be 26. He's not the youngest guy in the, I think there was a certain, you watched him and there was a certain ceiling that he had, and you got to take your hat off for him reaching that ceiling and reaching his full potential. And he's going to be a really good player for Philadelphia because he's not going to be asked to do the things that he can't do. He's going to be able to play off of Embiid and Al Horford and Ben Simmons. And you said before we started recording, Robert Covington on steroids. Robert Covington, who could, attack a closeout where Robert, he's going to be a better version of that. And Philadelphia fans have always wanted Josh Richardson. They always looked at him as a guy who would fit exactly what they need. So if you're Philly, you get a guy who makes sense, who doesn't take the ball out of Ben Simmons' hands, who fits that timeline better than Jimmy Butler does. And now if you're Philadelphia, you're also expanding your championship window. And if you're the Heat, I don't know if you've cracked open the championship window, but it's a different window now that we're talking about. You know, this is a team that wants to be in the top four or five in the Eastern Conference, wants to be part of the action. They weren't last year. They are now because they have a true star player in Jimmy Butler. Can he be the best player on a championship team? I don't think he can, but he gets you a lot closer to that. And as we've seen around the league, you need somebody. You need a guy. And Dwayne Wade, in his final act, I suppose, brought Jimmy Butler in a way to Miami. Ironed out that relationship between him and the organization. And Jimmy Butler was in Miami this Sunday evening, and they got this deal done without any of these other, you know, you take your hat off to guys like Pat Riley and Andy Ellsberg and all these guys who managed to keep Jimmy Butler in the building and get this thing done without Jimmy Butler going off and getting meetings with the Clippers or the Rockets or anything like that. That is a huge get for this front office. But let's take a quick break here, and we'll keep talking about how Jimmy Butler fits into the Miami Heat's roster and scheme. You're listening to Locked On Heat. For the latest takes on NBA free agency, follow all of the Locked On Podcast Network hosts on one Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net. It's an awesome way to get all the latest opinions from the local experts during NBA's free agency, which is sure to be crazy over the next few days. Follow along on Twitter at Locked On NBA Net. We have an update on the trade. At first, it looked like it would be Goran Dragic headed to Dallas to make the money work, but Dallas decided that they couldn't absorb that much salary, so they instead acquire Kelly Olynyk and Derrick Jones Jr. from the Heat. So that makes Miami's potential starting lineup Dragic, Jimmy Butler, Justice Winslow, James Johnson, and Bam Adebayo, I think, with Waiters, Tyler Hero, KZ Akpala even, and Whiteside coming off the bench. Does that sound about right to you, David?
Yes, it does. I don't think we're missing anybody because...
No.
Kelly and Derek were two parts of that front court there, and they're still lacking some front court depth, I guess. But with Okpala, obviously, he helps fill some of that. And Hassan's still projecting to come off the bench in that capacity. You get some additional scoring in there with Goran, some experience if he does wind up starting. So I guess maybe... I mean, Pat obviously, you know, changed his perspective from the trade day press conference where he said that Goran was the starting point guard, and then he was willing to still include him in a trade originally to Dallas, mm-hmm. and Dallas would then change their minds. Kelly was reportedly part of the original trade offer to Minnesota when Jimmy was there and trying to find a way out of the Timberwolves, so that's not all that surprising. You know, I guess it clears up a little bit of a log jam in the front court there. You know, they're clearly committed to Bam, I think, as their center of the future, and you still have, unfortunately, Hassan Whiteside's contract for one more year.
If they can't move him.
I think it kind of hurts a little bit, to be honest with you. Maybe they have other options at center. I'm not sure if you can find a way to trade Hassan. I'm not sure what your options are to fill that backup center role. It's not that easy. And Kelly did a pretty admirable job in that role. He plays out of position because he's too small for, you know, the center position, and he can get beat up on boards a lot. And then as far as his power forward spot, he's a little slow in guarding some of the quicker front court players there. So, you know, it could be a little problematic. He does have some variety of skills there. So
problematic in the short term, but I guess the silver lining to losing Olynyk is, well, KZ Akpala is going to have a real shot from day one, almost like Josh Richardson did as a second round draft pick for the Heat. You know, it took injuries in the case of Josh Richardson to get into that starting lineup and get some real rotation experience. But for KZ now, all of a sudden, you know, maybe if that plan was to move Dragic and Richardson now that, and with Dallas pushing back on that, and then the Heat pivoting to including Olynyk and Derrick Jones Jr., two guys who could play that four spot in a very different way, but could fill minutes at that spot, regardless, having, I guess, James Johnson and KZ Akpala. And by the way, the Heat, as of us recording this, haven't even officially waived Ryan Anderson. Now, that probably is still going to happen, but if they think that they need some more depth, they cannot do that. You know, they can always opt to not do that. So, Yante Mayton could still come back. Duncan Robinson, is he a three or a four? Maybe he can sort of fill some spots. Ultimately, you get Jimmy Butler, so you do the trade anyway. Goran Dragic is still really valuable. You have him as a, as another creator. You know, had they included Goran Dragic in that trade, you know, you're really short on ball handlers, and Miami probably has to look around for some, you know, a veteran point guard at the minimum, somebody who's probably not going to be that good but could fill some minutes, and you're just hoping to survive those minutes. By keeping Dragic, you keep you hold on to that, and he's still another asset that this team has. I mean, Goran Dragic is a good player at point guard on an expiring contract. When the rest of this free agency stuff shakes out, the Heat could still shop him elsewhere. So this stuff is not even far from, it's not even close from being done. So I don't want to get too much into the nitty-gritty of what this team looks like on opening day, because a lot of these things could change. We mentioned Whiteside. Dragic could still get moved. Any of these guys could really still get moved. But it at least keeps, I think Dragic, would you agree that Dragic is a better asset just in a vacuum than Kelly Olynyk and Derrick Jones Jr. were?
Ooh, that's tough to measure, and I don't get it. I think I would say so, because I think there's still hope that Dragic can be a really solid, productive player offensively in particular. And Kelly's biggest problem throughout his career has been his consistency, and I think that's still a concern there. So as much as I like Kelly's skill set as a front court player, I'd say Goran is still the better, more consistent player, even at his age. And you know, you talk to a lot of guys around the league, though, from a media perspective, and they kind of devalue what Goran does. And so I mean, maybe I'm in the wrong here, but to be honest with you, I think we watch enough of him, even in this injury-shortened year, where we still saw him, especially the stretch was in March, where he was shooting a blistering, what, 60% from three-point range. Yeah, I came crashing after just a few games, but you know, he was really good from the perimeter. He can still get to the rim, albeit a little bit, you know, slower than he once was able to. He still has that craftiness of the iron shoulder. He's still a good scorer. I mean, maybe there are still holes there, and maybe he is a year older and a step slower. But to me, I still see him as a productive offensive player.
I'm looking at teams now who could still use a point guard, because the point guard's moved.
Washington Wizards could.
Washington, Chicago never filled. Like, if I know they have, I know they drafted Kobe White, but do you want to put your veteran
those hands,
point guard,
buddy.
Or you want to put a rookie point guard in there? Not with them tiny hands, no. But do you want to have a veteran presence? They had been rumored to, even after trading, after drafting Kobe White, to be on the market for a veteran point guard. Are they a possible landing spot? I don't really know what they give back to Miami. If that was the case, yeah, I'm looking at this roster on the trade machine right now. I don't want any of it. No thanks. So never mind. Unless it's just draft picks and they could bring them into cap room. Ricky Rubio went to Phoenix. Terry Rozier went to Charlotte. Kyrie Irving obviously went to Brooklyn. Kemba went to Boston. Malcolm Brogdon went to Indiana. Rozier, a lot of those spots are getting filled.
Yeah, Rozier is younger, and you could argue maybe he's a better defensive player because he's a little bit more tenacious, I guess, and athletic.
Okay.
But, I mean, is he really a better player than Goran Dragic?
No, the Hornets are paying Terry Rozier more than they paid Kemba Walker, ever.
No, I know that, but I mean, people, I think league-wide would argue that Rozier at his age is still a better player than Goran Dragic. It's like, maybe what player are you watching?
A better asset, maybe, just because he's young. And look, I just, this whole asset stuff, like, I get, like, asset management and everything, but I'm hearing so much stuff about, oh my gosh, what is Miami doing? You know, Josh Richardson, you know, at $10 million a year, such a better value. At Jimmy Butler at the other side of 30, at $30 million a year. It's like, okay, yeah, whatever. Value this, value that. Jimmy Butler's a top 15 player. The Heat didn't have that. Now they do. Period. End of story. You're better. You are better. If you can get a top 15 player at a max contract, that is still a value contract. That's how the salary cap is designed. Max guys, when they deserve the max, when they're top 15 players, are underpaid. They are underpaid. Is Josh Richardson underpaid? Yeah, I would say so. At $10 million, absolutely. He's worth maybe probably twice that with his skill set. But Jimmy Butler is underpaid. Now, I don't know if he's going to be underpaid in years three or four of this deal, but considering that you didn't have to give up that much, that you kind of saw the ceiling on this roster, the writing was on the wall, I'm not worried about the Jimmy Butler value whatsoever.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I think he's... Look, I think a lot of this is also fans putting a spin on it. I mean, a week ago, Philadelphia fans were desperate to have Jimmy Butler, and I think based on his performance in the playoffs, might have even preferred getting Jimmy to to Tobias Harris, you know, but then they lose they lose J.J. Redick, and you start hearing that it's likely that Jimmy wants to leave either to Houston, you know, that was the likeliest destination, or to Los Angeles, who had the cap space to absorb him. And, you know, and then they start kind of putting a spin on it where they kind of, again, start to pick holes in it. It's like, oh, he wasn't exactly a Philly guy anyway, or he wasn't going to get along with the younger players that were better than him, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you know, just a few months ago, he was saving the 76ers' asses in the playoffs, and he was beloved for that when Tobias was falling apart. And I mean, I like Tobias Harris. He's a hell of a player. He's a good person, fun to talk to, et cetera. But at the same time, I mean, he did not have a great playoff performance, and Jimmy did. You know, conversely, you could argue, I think, that Jimmy was their best playoff performer, even over Ben Simmons or Joel Embiid.
When you're driving to work or just around town, all you have to do is tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Heat, and we'll be there with you for the drive. We're going to take a break here, and then we're going to talk about what this trade means for the Heat and how they stack up with the rest of the East. You're listening to Locked On Heat. Where does Miami now rank? They now have a top 15 player, and I agree with you. Jimmy Butler is absolutely a top 15 player. He is the alpha dog on this roster now. We had heard reports from Tim Reynolds of the Associated Press that Miami, the way that they sent off Dwayne Wade that last week, that last home game in Miami, that last game of the season in Brooklyn, that blew Jimmy Butler away, and he loved that. And I think Jimmy Butler wants that, and he is the man now in Miami. He's absolutely the guy. He's going to be on the billboards. He's going to be on the posters. He's going to be the number one selling jersey next season for the Heat. But where does that leave the Heat as far as the Eastern Conference? Because I know this is Locked On Heat, David, but we haven't even mentioned the fact that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant are going to Brooklyn. And now the Nets are maybe the best team in the East. And Milwaukee was able to keep Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez, but they lose Malcolm Brogdon to Indiana, who signs like a $20 million a year contract. Philadelphia, we mentioned the moves that they made. Boston executed a sign-and-trade that brings Kemba Walker in and sends Terry Rozier to Charlotte. Terry Rozier making more money than Kemba Walker ever did in Charlotte. Isn't that crazy? Toronto, we still have no idea what's happening with Kawhi Leonard. According to reports from Chris Haynes, he is going to take meetings over the next couple of days, so we're not expecting anything to break while we're recording this, but who knows, but probably not. So those are five teams. And I think if Toronto brings back Kawhi, and even if they don't necessarily bring back Kawhi, they're probably in that mix for one of the top five teams in the East. Would you agree with that, number one? And then where do the Heat fall? Are they six, seven? I mean, this is... I think Toronto, as good as anybody else.
Toronto without Kawhi will probably drop off a little bit. There were too many times there where I think they relied on Kawhi. Even though during the regular season he was more on and off as a player, he wasn't always there available to play on a regular basis. I think kind of the post-championship lag will settle in a little bit, and we'll try. I think it'll be difficult for them to kind of figure it out if and when Kawhi does leave there. But that's the first thing. If he rejoins with the team, well, then clearly they're still probably the best team in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah,
Indiana's a very good team. I'm not sure if you mentioned them. I mean, obviously, they did acquire Brogdon.
Yes. Jeremy Lamb. They lose Bojan Bogdanovic. But I didn't include Indiana because... And they lost Thad Young to Chicago, right?
Correct, yes.
Indiana, I didn't include only because Oladipo's not going to be back until, like, the next year. Like, until 2020, because he's still recovering from an injury. So I don't know what they look like next year. But Indiana, you're right. They could still probably be a playoff team. I just don't know. I kind of like Miami more than Indiana, while, like, given that Victor Oladipo is going to miss half the season, you know?
Well, you know, it's just funny because the last, you know, it seems like it's been a compressed 24 hours here, but ever since, you know, the steam has been picked up regarding Jimmy potentially meeting and eventually signing with Miami, obviously, you know, a lot of people have looked at Miami's roster and challenged it publicly as far as whether or not they thought it was a good enough roster. I think you're going to see internal development from a lot of these players. I really think the addition of a player like Jimmy creates a very natural hierarchy and challenges a lot of things. I mean, his style can be abrasive. I think you either love that kind of style or you hate it. But I think it's going to work well in Miami because he's going to challenge a bunch of guys that, quite frankly, need challenging. You know, Deion got lazy when he was injured and put on weight. I think Hassan has kind of rested on his laurels for the past 3 years after signing that huge contract. I think Justice and maybe Josh, to an extent, were probably the only guys that really kind of stepped up to the challenge. And even then, I question how much they were able to go beyond what we've seen from them already. I think Jimmy's addition is going to change that completely. So I do really like this addition on a number of levels, but I think he's also going to get everybody on this roster to play like better versions of themselves next year.
That's really well said. And I think hits the nail on the head right there. You're right. 100%. I mean, if Goran Dragic being that other contract that moves out, it's going to be tough for Miami to move off of Deion Waiters and James Johnson. We know that the struggles that they've had with injuries and rehab and just staying in shape and conditioning, he's going to help those guys. He's going to make sure that, like, it all sort of foreshadows, like, that comment by Pat Riley, we need to tighten the screws on the culture. It all, I don't know if he knew it back then, but it does sort of still foreshadow this idea of bringing in Jimmy Butler, who he might blow up the team. I don't know. I don't. He is a very tough personality, but I agree with you. I think that personality fits in Miami. The culture makes a ton of sense, and I think the fit is really great. I think we're going to continue to digest this and just sort of analyze this and what it all means. But the Heat are better than they were. The Heat are better now than they were this morning, and you know what? Josh Richardson was a great player for this team, and he was a great story. And I just put him in my top five, my all-time, not my five-man lineup to beat the Miami Heat's all-time lineup. Mm-hmm. I put him in that lineup on Friday, the last podcast that we did. I think very highly of Josh Richardson, but he has a ceiling. Jimmy Butler is a player above that ceiling, and he ultimately raises the Miami Heat ceiling. But like I said, we'll continue to digest this news and analyze what this means to the Heat in the next few days. For now, that's it for today. You can connect with us on Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat or email us at LockedOnHeat@gmail.com. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.